All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, the first hour of the show, if you missed it, I had Dr. Darrell Williams on, who's a candidate for the Democratic nomination of the United States Senate. And we got to talking about, you know, he received a Purple Heart as well as a Bronze Star, two of the highest awards you can receive, military awards you can receive, and after 29 years in the service. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how we as a society want to uplift and talk about how much we care about our veterans and all of those things and how much we support them. You know, and yet in the end, we really don't support them because the things that they really need, we aren't willing to give to them for various reasons. Either it's something that we can't financially support them. We're not willing to go the extra mile that is needed, that is necessary for them. But here's another one of those things that just make you say, what is wrong with people? You know, especially people who call themselves Republicans. Now, I'm not saying that because you are a military person and you made a decision to join the military, that's fine. And you went in and you said, I'm going to fight for the country. Again, that's laudable, right? Those things are laudable. And in the society we live in, it's easy to praise people who do that. But then how do you get from there, Connor, to this bill in Florida that allows veterans of the military to become teachers with no degrees? Now, I don't know, you know, what you've learned in your time in the military that will make you a candidate to become an educator. I don't know the correlation between the two. Number one, I don't believe there is a correlation between the fact that somebody was in the military and that somehow that makes it germane to educating children. I don't think anybody can say where that makes sense, but in Florida, under Ron DeSantis and Republicans, that's precisely what it is they have done. Florida teachers have taken to the internet with outrage over a new bill allowing military veterans to teach without a degree. Let me see. Teach without a degree. On June 9th, the Florida legislature passed a bill granting approval for former and present members of the military to teach in classrooms. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis announced the moves as part of an $8.6 million package to expand career and workforce training opportunities for veterans and their spouses. So listen, I get it. You want to offer an opportunity for veterans to make sure that they have opportunities because of the sacrifices that they've made in their lives to benefit the society. But how do you get from there? And yeah, so find other career paths for them. But how does education become one of those? How do you mix those two? And you know, I just, they're Republicans and conservatives who listen, who, for whatever reasons, won't address these kinds of issues and say, hey, that's nonsensical. That makes no sense. Well, you know, Ron DeSantis said, well, Ron DeSantis doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. because you've been in the military doesn't mean you're going to be qualified to educate children. Two different, completely different things. And this is why there's this divide in this country, because we have people talking nonsensical things like this. Nonsensical. And yet they're pushing this. Somebody in the legislature comes up with a crazy idea, and I do mean crazy idea, and it gets fast forwarded and moved quicker than most things because, well, he's a military vet, you know, military vets, and we love our vets, so, you know, we got to make sure that we find things for them to do, so let's make them educators. How insane an idea is that? And yet it's become law in Florida. There's something going on in Florida and Texas. You know, I don't know, never lived there. But all the stuff that I've been reading about Florida and Texas and the ideas that make it and become laws, really, you need to ask what is going on there. The Florida Department of Education followed the legislation this month by announcing the state would issue a temporary teaching certificate to veterans who have not yet earned their bachelor's degrees. Now, aren't we constantly talking about the fact, and I understand there's a teacher shortage, but that's not the answer. The answer is not to open the door for veterans of the military and somehow think that their experience in the military will make them candidates to deal with children. In the way of education, we underestimate the educators when we do that. That would be akin to saying to teachers that, okay, you guys are teachers. Since we believe that the veterans, military veterans, have learned all these valuable lessons, have all these values that they've accumulated and things that they've learned from being in the military, somehow can be transferred to teaching children. Well, you could say the same thing. It's just as idiotic to say that teachers should somehow be able to become military folk, in which they can in the proper amount of time. So I'm not saying that that military people can't become educators, but they've got to go through the proper training and go through the proper licensing channels that other teachers have to go through. You don't get a bypass or a pass because you've been in the military, but that's exactly what they've done in Florida. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It once again points out what is at the root of the things that are going on in this country. Man, it just makes you want to, you know, who was it? Marvin Gaye, who said, makes you want to holler and throw up both your hands. I mean, come on. Where do people come up with these ideas, these crazy ideas? And I'm sorry, but more times than not, these crazy ideas are germinating in the heads of people who are on the right. I rarely hear these ideas as crazy and nonsensical on the left. I'm not saying there aren't people who don't come up with crazy ideas as Democrats. There are. But man, more than ever, They're coming from the people who claim to be Republicans. And it's almost as if what they are doing is trying to see who can come up with the most whacked out, crazy idea. And then it's one thing to come up with a crazy idea. It's another one altogether that the crazy idea becomes a reality. Like this. Well, let's see. I was in the Gulf War. Oh, you were? Okay. But what did you do? Well, you know, I was a guy who, you know, had a AK-47, and I was in the, you know, I was in the desert, and I was shooting it out with, you know, some of the folk, or I was, you know, in the mountains in Afghanistan, and I had my weapons, and I was fighting, and so, okay, so you were, okay, I hear you, okay, fine. What other qualification? Well, that's what I have. Well, okay, so then you can become an educator. What kind of craziness is that? But that's where we are in this country. No common sense. And it's broken down. And people don't have the courage to say, hey, man, that's a crazy idea. That's a crazy idea. I'm saying it. That's a crazy idea. Somebody else should be echoing the exact same thing because it's a crazy idea. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, last night, I watched the Republican gubernatorial debate. And I got to tell you, Timothy Ratman... Ratham sounded reasonable at times. He really did. And he sounded like a guy that you can have a reasonable conversation with, unlike Rebecca Clefish. Tim. What's the guy's name? Tim Michaels, you know. So I'm listening to Rebecca Clefish at every turn. She reminds me of a pit bull, you know. It's going to be, she's got an answer to everything, and every answer is absolutism, and I've got it figured out. And I know how it works. And if I'm your next governor, I'm going to do this. I stood up to, you know, all of those teachers. I stood up to the bullies. I did this. I did that. And I'm going to do this. And if you elect me, I'll get it all done because I know what's best for everybody. And I'm the person that you should support because I'm Rebecca Clefish, and I've been around, and I've done this, and I've got an answer to every question, a pet answer, and By the way, did I tell you I'm Rebecca Clefish? Did I tell you that I was the lieutenant governor under Scott Walker and we stood up to the teachers union and we did this and we did that? Hey, wait a minute, Becky. You didn't stand up to anything. You were the lieutenant governor. You know, you weren't running anything. Stop trying to mislead people that you were in control of what was going on with Scott Walker when he was in charge. Some of us know the damage that Scott Walker did during his time. And since you're tied to the hip of then Governor Scott Walker, you are proud of those decisions that he made that many of us deplore. Deplored it then, deplored now. For you to somehow think that you can, you know, straighten out your spine and stand erect and say that all the decisions that we made during Scott Walker's tenure was so great and included most people and was right for the citizens of the state, that's reason enough that you should vote for me today. The answer to that is nah. No. Some of us who were awake during those 8 years of you and Scott Walker, we never want to see you again. We don't want to see you around the governor's mansion. Not you. Because we know who you are. We know what floats your boat. We know that what you are after is power and fame. And just to hear somebody who's got all the answers, listen, nobody has all the answers. Nobody's that smart, including you, Becky. You know, you're not. You know, you've been at this and building your dowry and all of those things. First one in the race. You know, you want to let people know just how tough you are on everything. You've got all the answers. You don't have them. And I listened. I honestly listened. And if there was a choice, and if I was voting in the Republican primary, and my choice was Timothy Rantham or Becky Clefish, and I was a Republican, I would vote for Timothy Rantham. His answers were thought through. They weren't pat answers like Becky gave. You know, they've tutored her. And she wanted to just let you know, I'm going to be as tough as Donald Trump. Make me your governor and I'll show you what I'm going to do. That's not how it's going to work, Becky. You know, whether it's you, whether it's Tim Michael, who's a great businessman, who has done all of these great things and made all of this money and, you know, vote for me because I'm rich. Vote for me because never mind that I've never been involved in government on any level. Never mind that I really don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Well, I think we need to get rid of Milwaukee Public Schools and then we'll just give the choice schools and the private schools, we'll let them, make the decisions on how children should be educated. Never mind that they don't have the regulations that happen in the public school systems. You know, because you believe, again, and somebody has buttered your bread, that the answers to all these things are that simplistic. They're not. So, you know, the one person that made sense to me on that stage was Timothy Rantham. And he showed some and compassion that they weren't pat answers. Our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Did you watch the debates last night as I did? And I ran them back to see if, in fact, what I heard was altogether what I heard. And yes, they were. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. You know, I really just struggle mightily in looking at our nation and really the way it's constituted. And the fact that so many different things happen in this country that should not happen. And the fact that we almost seem to be powerless to control our nation. You know, Tom from L.A. is always right on point with constantly reminding those of us that we the people, the government, and yes, that sounds romantic, and that sounds, you know, that sounds beautiful, and it sounds like, you know, when you hear that, it makes you and I feel like yes, we do have some say so, or some control over what happens in this country. But the more you push hard, the more you delve into things like, you know, my first guest, Dr. Williams, and what he experienced in his run for United States Senate, you start realizing that things aren't all together what is written. And the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of those things that supposedly make this nation so much better than other nations, really are an illusion. They're not real. So, because if they were real, then how come a little guy like me, if I don't pay my taxes, they will take everything that I own? Our government will take my home. It will suspend or block my bank account. It will take everything that I own, everything that I have, whether I'm a Democrat or a Republican. You are going to pay your fair share. You're going to pay your taxes. That's just the way things go. Or we are going to take everything that you own. You're the little guy. You have a civic responsibility of doing this. And the question becomes, why should it just be the little guy that has a civic responsibility? Why not the fat cat? So working Americans pay income taxes. Why don't the billionaires? Fair enough question, right? Why should the fact that people are billionaires, that they should be able to get away without paying their fair share? Well, Earl, you know, many of them employ people, and they've got businesses. And so they get a pass because if it wasn't for the businessman, there wouldn't be, a lot of people would not be working in the society. Let's see if I buy that. Because what comes first? You know, you don't become a billionaire without getting some breaks. And part of the breaks for billionaires are things they can write off. And things that are slanted in their favor because they're so wealthy. And so the businessman himself is not the person who created that opportunity for themselves to not pay their fair share of taxes. That's the representative of you and I who has made it possible for them to continue to wax rich while you and I struggle just to keep our food on the table and a roof over our heads. So it's long past the time that we should continue to tolerate the wealthy amongst us to not pay their fair share of taxes. There should be a revolt. And people should be marching on Washington. We march on Washington for a lot of different things. But clearly one of them that we're not marching on Washington for are the loopholes that the wealthiest amongst us continue to get that you and I don't. You know, they pay a lower tax rate, billionaires, than you and I. How can that possibly be? If they're billionaires, they're certainly handling a whole lot more financial resources than you and I are. You know, I look at the wee bits of money that I make, and if I don't pay my taxes, the penalty for me not paying my taxes, I'll lose everything that I have. But there's no way that my tax rate should be the same thing as some billionaire. How can that make sense? But it does. And the fact that we, the little people, aren't willing to fight to overturn that injustice, never mind if you're Democrat or Republican. Excuse me. Well, you know, I'm a billionaire, and so, you know, I made all this on my own, and I started with nothing. And I understood, I know how the system worked, and I took advantage of the system. And so now I've become a billionaire, and so I'm bigger than the system. What are you talking about? You took advantage of an unjust and unfair system. And that's what the tax code is in this country. Unjust. Because again, when a billionaire is paying the same percentage of his income for taxes as the average guy, well, you can say, yeah, but Earl, that's a ridiculous comparison. The billionaire is paying, you know, millions and millions of dollars in taxes. We're talking percentages. So 10% of what I'm paying based on what I make is really no different than the billionaire who's paying 10% of his of what he's earned. Same thing. I'm not crazy. I'm not saying that the billionaire's bottom line, the amount of dollars that he's paying, we're talking percentages. And the impact of the 20% that they take out on me and the impact that that has on my family far outweighs somebody who's a billionaire. And the fact that they have to give up 20% if they would. But we know they don't. So let's do this. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast, might fall on a piece of glass, might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Then Grandma's hands soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Whoa, Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, Grandma understands that you really love that band. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hands.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. And you know, I got up this morning at 4:30, and as I do daily. And, you know, especially Monday through Friday during the radio times. And turned on the television, and right away there was this celebration. National Security Advisor talked about a strike on Al-Qaeda leader. And it makes the U.S. safer. The White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan appeared on two news shows on Tuesday where he said that the death of Al-Qaeda's leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, undoubtedly made the United States safer. He was a man who was the most inspirational figure, the strategic leader, someone who sent guidance regularly to affiliates around the world, someone who sent out messages inspiring his followers to attack and kill Americans and harm the United States, said Sullivan on ABC's Good Morning America. So, somebody remind me the last time Al-Qaeda attacked any American entity? Is there somebody out there who can tell me? Because I don't know. I can't, you know, I can't recall. There'd been very little, if any, conversation about Al-Qaeda since, I guess, you know, President Barack Obama. I haven't heard a whole lot of conversations about Al-Qaeda. They talk about it being the greatest threat to our nation. If that's the case, and I doubt that they are, the greatest threat to our nation. They can feed us anything, and we just accept it. So while the celebratory tour goes around, let's listen to conservative talk radio again this morning, and they were all the same people who've been talking about Joe Biden and calling him lame and calling him the weakest president in the history of the nation and the worst president ever, were giving him all this credit for the killing of one man. And then I saw footage that said, this is the guy who helped create Osama bin Laden. This is the guy who helped plan the attack on the World Trade Centers. This is the guy who helped, you know, if you didn't know any better, you know, the number one enemy to the United States. But that's not true. You and I know that's not true. How could that one man be the number one enemy to the United States? Is he the guy that we're building all the nuclear weapons for? I wonder sometimes about our nation. I wonder what we accept and what we don't accept. And so, having lived as long as I have, I wasn't buying the celebration. Well, we knew where he was. They've known where he was. He was a key planner of September 11, 2001. You know, the bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Kenya way back in the 1990s. This man, you know, and so he is the worst thing, the worst enemy of our nation. He had to be taken out. We've known where he was for all these years. Why now? Was there some major plans or master plans that he was dreaming up, that he was going to attack the United States again? The death of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri now makes the United States a safer place? You really buy that? You really believe that? Well, we knew where he was. He was hanging out on the balcony in a ritzy neighborhood. You know how we knew that? Because we know where all these people are. We have the intelligence. Oh, if you knew that yesterday, haven't you been knowing that every day? You didn't just get the information the way he was. Why was the decision made on yesterday to eradicate him? You must look at things with your third eye. Why? Why now? I know. Raw meat gives the American people an opportunity to say, well, the boogeymen are still there. Don't you rest. That's why we need to continue to spend this money on the military. Because Al-Qaeda. Al who? Come on. Al-Qaeda is still there. Let's go to the phone lines. Just put them on. Who do we have on?
Hey, I agree with you. Why now? Why all of a sudden?
Yay. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I find it refreshing. You went from a discussion of domestic terrorism at pro-life pregnancy centers to Al-Qaeda, and I think you're an even-handed, equal opportunity basher. you could dare question our government if taking out Al-Qaeda now?
Yeah, but listen, the facts are the facts. The truth is the truth. We've known where he was.
I want to know the truth about him. Yeah.
We've known Jerry, we've known where he was for the last decade.
Well, Bin Laden, they wouldn't even let us see his body. Remember?
I know, I said that. I said that. Yeah. Why did Bin Laden have to be assassinated? He had no weapons. He was no threat. Wouldn't it have made better sense that I said this when Barack Obama was president. I'm not a guy who's going to just choose sides. And I said it back then. What sense did it make? He was no threat. He was not armed. Why did he have to be killed on the spot? And we're supposed to believe that his body was, you know, because Muslims believe in 24 hours, their bodies have to be buried or done away with within 24 hours. Why were we adhering to what Muslims believe if Osama bin Laden was the person that we all have been looking for? Wouldn't it have been better if we would have had some dialogue and conversation with Osama bin Laden? He'd have been able to tie up a lot of different things, Jerry.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I miss Milwaukee. I used to live between Chicago and Milwaukee in Wheeling, Illinois, closer to the Chicago side. But I go to Summerfest up there and have a ball. Do they still have the safe house up there where you go in there?
Absolutely.
And, you know, they
So what do you think? This is Milwaukee, man. We don't change much. You know, but I will tell you, I really do think that the American people don't think deeply enough, Jerry. I think it's all the other things that we do in our lives. We're so blessed and fortunate to live in a society where we have all these things that we get to do with our families if we're fortunate, if we're blessed. And then our government gets to do whatever it does because there aren't enough people who have the freedom over these airwaves. I'm blessed that the owner of this radio station gives me an opportunity to talk about things that most people won't talk about. And Jerry, even though this kill of the number one Al-Qaeda guy is all over the world right now, nobody's asking questions. Why now? But
well, I have a question.
Go
I
ahead.
Told you my name. How'd you know my name was Jerry?
Because I know your voice. You know.
All right. Well, I'll let you finish up with this story.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, thank you. Listen, we've got to, in this nation, in order for things to get better, we've got to ask questions and not just accept things. But I got to run. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, as always, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma's hand.